Welcome to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center, hometown hospital for the New York Giants. I'm Paul Tatino. He's Jeff Eagles. And once again, the Giants prepare for another game this weekend, only it's in London instead of here in the States. They'll be taking on the Los Angeles Rams. And Jeff, the Giants come off of a big win against the Ravens because not only did it halt a three-game losing streak, but then after this game, they get a bye and three straight home games.
And you know what this does? It completely builds the confidence for the team. You know, if they can go in and get a win when they go to London, be able to come off a two-game winning streak and go into that schedule that you just mentioned is going to be tough for these guys, but it's time when you go over to London, come back for the bye, it's going to give you a lot of time to get healthy. That's a big thing.
Talking about getting healthy, let's look at that injury report. And as we scan down it, a lot of names on it. Some guys they think will play, other guys still not sure. Odell Beckham did not practice today here on Wednesday. Nat Burhe, though, had to leave practice because of that concussion situation, and that's not a good thing.
No, and you know, you were kind of hoping that maybe Eli Apple and Nat Burhe, two guys that have been out of the lineup for the last couple weeks, can come back and get you some playing time when you go to London, and then get a little bit more of the recovery going into the bye. So we'll have to see what happens and what plays out with those two guys.
All right. Hey, Coach Ben McAdoo and his guys are getting ready. Let's throw it to the coach right now.
You guys played the Rams. You got pretty chippy there with Odell and some players that are still on that team. Will you say anything to him ahead of time to remind him, or are you concerned about that at all?
No, we're just focused on playing a solid game of football overseas right now.
How is Odell's hip?
He didn't practice today. He was out today. He's pretty sore.
Are you concerned he'll miss the game?
I'll take it day by day.
Do you have to do anything different on the flight over as far as these guys that are injured, who, you know, to avoid them stiffening up or, you know, experiencing any setbacks?
They'll have plenty of room. We're going to move them up as far as we can on the plane and give them plenty of room to get their rest.
With a guy like Odell, and, you know, when he's battling something, do you have to make different game plans depending on whether he can play or not, or how does that work?
You know, we have a plan for the opponent, and there's always contingency plans for if someone can't go.
How did Eli have to go?
He moved around well. He was limited, but he moved around well in the work he got.
What about Burhe?
Burhe, not so well. We had to pull him early.
So that would make Sunday?
He was limited.
So he's back in the protocol then?
He was limited, and yes, he's still in the protocol.
He left early because of...
He never got to a contact practice.
He left early because of... What made him leave early? Headaches, or...?
He was still in the protocol.
Zach Kielce?
Zach did not practice.
When you decided to fly over there on the Thursday afternoon, why'd you make that choice rather than earlier in the week?
We wanted to get our heavy lifting done early, get on a normal week at the beginning of the week, get plenty of rest in, give them an opportunity to get ahead of the game as far as that goes, and then battle through our fresh Friday over there.
Coach, what's your concern about? Do you have concerns about jet lag?
No.
Coach, concerning the NFL in London, how do you think the game has grown internationally over years, and do you believe we'll ever see the day where there is a full-time team in London?
You know, you never say never. You hear talk about it. I'm sure there are plans in place if it ever does get to that. But it's still early for that.
Ben, six games, just been your thoughts on Jim Morris and how he's played. Jeff Fisher said he thinks he's playing as well as any quarter in the sport.
No, he's playing good football. He's aggressive. He's a competitor. You know, everything is advertised. The thing that surprises you is you really don't know what a guy's like till you get him in here. And he's a tremendous leader, a tremendous example for the young players.
And with some of the injuries you've had in the secondary, how important has he been?
Yeah, I mean, he's playing great football right now, so he's been important for the whole team.
What kind of problems can Aaron Donald create for an offensive line?
He's very quick, athletic. His first step is it's hard to find in another three technique in the league. He's very twitchy. You have to account for him in the pass game.
Coach, as someone who's seen a lot of quarterbacks over the years, what can you say about the play of Case Keenum so far this season?
He looks like he found his rhythm.
How much is Donald the guy that teams double and triple from what you've seen when you watch the film?
Usually, a three technique, he's a guy that in pass protection, he's on the guard pretty much one-on-one, but you'll see the centers or tackles use a drag hand to try to get three hands on them quite a bit.
Ben, I know you said that you want to stay committed to the run, but at some point, do you have to move away from it, given the lack of success?
Never.
What do you think has been the issue with the run?
We just need to improve. We've had a couple down weeks. Confident in the guys to step it up this week. Again, it's not just the offensive line. It's a combination of everything, play caller included, and we all have to get it going.
You've run a lot, even by the goal line, with three wide receivers. What's your thinking with doing that by the goal line?
I'll just create extra gaps.
Why wouldn't it be better to create extra gaps with bigger guys? And when you're new, I'm talking goal line specifically.
Yeah. We try to get the best players on the field to create the best matchups we can. It's a matchup league.
You still have Jennings on the injury report, and of course he came back last week. I mean, what have you seen from him? Has he had a setback, or are you just taking it slow with getting him back into the flow?
Yeah, we're just taking it slow with him. We want to be smart and limit his exposure.
I don't think Orleans played a snap the other day. Is that just a game-by-game type of thing he's playing at?
Yes.
Certainly. Go ahead.
It wasn't a huge part of special teams either, which he was beforehand. What went into that decision?
Take it game by game.
It seems when teams are playing the Rams, they're telling, you know, Gurley's not going to beat us. I mean, is that what you've seen? They're limiting the running game?
Yeah, teams are loading the box. He's a very talented back. He's a guy that you definitely don't want to get a full head of steam going. He can lower the shoulder, lower the boom on you. He can also make you miss. Very talented player.
Just circling back to Odell real quick. Is it just the same thing from the game, the hip pointer, or did something new happen that caught him?
No, same thing from the game.
And the Rams do have a reputation of being kind of chippy. Have you seen that in the tapes from this year?
No, they look like a sound football team. I don't see any extracurriculars on tape, no.
Is there, with Odell, you say he's really sore, is there a concern this is going to linger?
No, again, we'll take it day by day. He's with the trainers today, and we'll see how he responds when he gets up in the morning tomorrow.
With him in particular, do you need him to practice throughout the week in order to get him on the field for the game, or you? I know we've asked just before.
No, if he's ready to play in the game, he'll play in the game.
Ben, between the London trip, which do you think is a bigger adjustment for the players, the mental or the physical, given that there can be distraction from making the trip? And why do you think so?
I think it's focus. I think we have to make sure we dial in on the work that we're doing here and not think about the trip ahead. Make sure we get our normal down-to-distance work done today and our situational football done tomorrow. That's the biggest thing, is our focus and make sure we're in the moment.
And then by the time they actually get to London and they actually kick it off, is all of that behind them and everything is ready to go?
The plan's in. It'll be a mental day, a focus and concentration day on Friday, and then we'll get some speed work and launch on Saturday.
You going to do foot pads tomorrow like you usually do, or are you going to go lighter before you travel?
No, we'll pull the pads off tomorrow. We'll be smart with our repetitions and our time on the field.
A guy like Sensabaugh, who was just there, can you glean anything from him?
He's doing a nice job adjusting to what we're asking him to do, and that's our focus. All right, thank you.
And so the Giants are getting ready to go to London. They will leave on Thursday. Bacon and eggs? Not this time. Breakfast involves tea and crumpets. Back with more after this on MSG. Welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live here on MSG. It's presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. It's time for our GEICO News Update of the Day. 15 seconds can save you 15% or more on auto insurance. And who else could it be about? Odell Beckham Jr., today named the NFC's Offensive Player of the Week. Jeff, he was incredible against the Ravens, had over 200 yards receiving in a game for the first time in his career, and for the seventh time, a multi-touchdown performance.
Well, it was just a matter of time before Odell really got out of what, I don't know, some people call a slump. But, you know, matter of fact is he comes out in this game and gets the touchdown to win. And that certainly is, was totally one of the biggest plays in the game. You know, one thing about Odell Beckham is that he's a fighter, and this guy is going to go out there. And with all the stuff that's been happening, Paul, with the antics here and there, the guy can go on the field, and he's going to try to win every single game. He's going to try to catch every single ball. You see here, he's just, you know, going to cruise down and get in the end zone for his first touchdown. But more importantly, this guy at the end of the game says, "Hey, Eli, I'm your guy. throw me the football, I'm going to go out and win this game. And certainly he did, over 200 yards receiving in the game against the Ravens. And you know what he gets for it, Paul? He gets a nice NFC Player of the Week.
All that yardage after the catch really helped the Giants' cause. Now, for Eli Manning, this was the eighth time in his career that he has thrown for more than 400 yards in a game. The interesting part is the Giants are 4-4 in those contests.
Well, I think that, you know, going into the game last week, I think that collectively between Eli Manning and Coach McAdoo, they had a very good game plan. You saw a lot of up-tempo offense. And I think that when you talk about Eli, you talk about up-tempo. That's the way he likes to play the game. And I think Coach Ben McAdoo said, hey, Eli, we're gonna uptick this game. We're gonna get the ball in your hands quick, and you're gonna be able to move with that up-tempo. And also, I just can't tell you enough how much the offensive line played well for that offense last year.
No question about that. Terrell Suggs had one quarterback sack, and really that was it in terms of the pressure. How about our Twitter question of the day? Wanting to know, what did you think of the offensive line against the Ravens? And it was only two quarterback hits, by the way, not just one sack, but they kept them upright.
Well, I thought they played well overall. I think that, you know, when you look at Flowers, he had only gave up three hurries with 50 snaps going against a Terrell Suggs, who, let me tell you something, that's quite a feat. So I thought he did very well. And then collectively, the offensive line played good for offense, gave Eli some time. But you know what? They still have a tough time run blocking and trying to get this offense a running game established. And, you know, until they can do that, it's just they're going to become one-dimensional.
Under 40 yards rushing in this one. The turnovers were another problem. There was a pick at the end of the half, not a big deal, inconsequential. But they also had a fumble in the first half. Giants now turning the ball over 13 times so far this year. That's top three in the league.
Well, we know the number one statistic in football is that turnover ratio. You got to understand that when you go into a football game, especially with a team like the Ravens who like to get after you and turn the ball over on you, you got to be able to protect the football. I think that Eli knows that he has to be more careful where he's throwing the ball. But you know what? This all can be corrected, and you have to emphasize it more and more in practice and just keep continuing to try to improve on it game by game.
Now, for the Rams, defensively, they tend to play after the whistle a little bit. Greg Williams, their defensive coordinator, he's a tough guy. He loves to blitz. They have 8 sacks while using the blitz so far this year. That's tops in the league.
Well, this man here is a little bit of center of controversy for years, and I think that, you know, he brings a style to this Rams off defense. They play whistle to whistle. They're taught to do that. These guys go out there, they play through the ball, and they also want to get after you mentally because they like to talk a lot. But when you talk about Williams, he just kind of brings that attitude to that defense, the very aggressive style of defense that he teaches.
And, of course, when you talk about pressure in the quarterback, you got to talk about those guys up front. Now, they are top 10 in the NFL in both quarterback hits and quarterback hurries. They got a bunch of guys who can get after you.
Yeah, well, Donald and excuse me.
Quinn?
Quinn from UNC, my son's team. But, listen, these two guys are very athletic. They play amazing. They have amazing fundamentals. And one thing these guys do is get off the ball very quickly. And if you don't get your sets on offense, if you're an offensive lineman, you got to look out. And the other thing, too, is they wreak havoc behind the line of scrimmage. A lot of tackles behind the line. They force fumbles, and they get after you. So from a technique standpoint, this offensive line has got to play well against this front defense of the Rams.
Jeff, you said tackles behind the line. How ironic, because they are number one, all the Rams in the NFL, tackling opponents behind the line on a rush 24 times this season. They can really set you up behind the sticks.
Well, they can. And what happens is when these guys make plays behind the line, it puts you in first and second long distances, and that equates to a long third down. You better be pretty good on third down conversions going against this Rams team. But more importantly, you got to be able to try to run the football so that you don't tip your hat to these guys so they can just pin their ears back and come after you.
Now, we talked about the Giants not running the ball great last week against Baltimore. That also resulted in a time of possession of only about 25 minutes a game. You can't always get away with that, Jeff. It worked last week, and the Giants still won with the pass. Can they do that again against L.A.?
Well, they're going to have to because, you know, it's really important to keep that time of possession by making first downs. And, listen, the Giants got to be able to keep the ball, and by not turning it over, that's a good way to do it.
And the short passing game, of course, that whole West Coast offense.
It's an extension of that running game.
Which means yards after the catch, very, very, very important.
Yeah, because, you know, when a team cannot run the football, you've got to be able to come up with some idea of how you're going to be able to get out of those first and second long down situations if you can't run. Therefore, you put in a passing game. You look at Bobby Rainey and you look at Shane Vereen. Some of what the things these guys have been able to do, even 2 or 3 yards from a short pass will help your running game, if you will.
When we come back, we will talk about the challenges that the Rams offense brings to the table. So stick around. More after this on MSG. Welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. So on Sunday, the Giants are going to London. Second time they've done that as a franchise. They'll be taking on the Rams. Back in 2007, Mr. Feagles, you were with the Giants when they beat the Miami Dolphins. What's the biggest challenge this team faces going overseas?
Well, it's tough because, you know, you're going to leave it on a Thursday night flight. You're not used to flying in the evening. That's one thing. The time change is a big one. You heard Coach McAdoo talk about, you know, preparing the team, getting some sleep, things like that. That's the biggest challenge, is trying to get caught up on the time change and that jet lag, if you will. The other thing that's concerning is that you have to understand that why you're going over there is to play an NFL football game. You're not a tourist. You don't want to go see, you know, the Eiffel Tower, which is what Brandon Jacobs back in 2007 wanted to do. That would mean he'd have to get on a train and go to Paris. But the fact is that you've got to limit distractions. Make sure that you're over there. It's a business trip to go over there and win an NFC football game and get and come into a bye week with a win.
What is the most unique or strange thing that happened on this trip that you can share with us?
Well, I don't know if it's so much unique, but I will tell you that, you know, Sean O'Hara, he's very an astute person, at least if he thinks he is. I remember we were on our way to the practice field out at the Chelsea where the soccer matches are there they play. But, you know, it was like an hour driving. He had a book in his hand, and me and Eli, we were sitting right next to each other. All we did was keep looking over at O'Hara, and he was sitting there reading that book, and he would just kept, you know, going like this and just falling asleep. And we finally realized that he probably only read one page the whole hour trip that we were there to get to practice. But just like I told you before, is that you have to understand that you're tired and you got to push through it. But hopefully the Giants will be able to do that on Sunday.
He needed me next to him because I can keep anybody awake for that trip.
There's no question.
Hey, I tell you what, the Giants defense these days playing well. They're middle of the pack in both yardage allowed and points allowed. How do you think they're playing right now?
Well, you know what? Overall, I think the defense is playing well. I think that the secondary is playing exceptionally well for the fact that they've got a lot of injuries and guys coming in and out of the lineup. I think Adams is doing well. One thing that we all can agree upon is that this defensive line is not getting enough sacks. But Coach Spagnuolo is doing a little bit different, trying to get some blitzes and stuff in there. But, you know, the most thing, too, that this defense has to do is create some more turnovers. More importantly, they've got to do it this weekend.
They did pick up the pressure last week against the Ravens. Giants came up with a couple of sacks.
Yeah, well, you know, they tried to do some things different. If you cannot get to the quarterback in your conventional way with your four defensive linemen and OV and JPP, then you're going to have to mix in some different blitzes. You saw Collins come in there. You've seen Hall come in there. But more importantly, to the fact that you've got to be able to make tackles when you go after the quarterback, Collins has done a nice job at that.
Now, in that game, the Giants gave up just under 100 yards rushing, but 33 of them came on only one play, and then there was an outstanding goal line stand. Jonathan Casillas came up real big on fourth down.
Well, as a defense, you know, I look back at some of the goal line stands that I've seen in my career, really in 2007 against the Washington Redskins. This is one of those. This is one of those plays, a fourth down play that a defense, they just come out with tons of confidence, and this can build your confidence going into the season and, more importantly, be able to help you understand that you can stop anybody down there, and they certainly did it against the Ravens last week. Very physical.
Another guy who came up big in this game, Landon Collins, with a career-high 12 tackles. He had a sack, looked like he was shot out of a cannon, and also had two tackles for a loss in that one. He's playing better every week.
Well, I think that, you know, one thing about Landon Collins is he's getting more and more experience. You saw he started 16 games last year. We started as many games this year coming in. He's getting much more experience. But more importantly, that Spagnuolo is putting him in positions to make plays. And that is his strength, making tackles, blitzing the quarterback. One thing he does have to learn and has to get better at, and that is covering and getting out in space and be able to make some plays and maybe get some interceptions.
Now, against the Rams, you really got to think stopping the run first. They're running 60% of the time on first and 10, which is the third most in the NFL. That means Todd Gurley is going to be a huge component to what they want to do.
Well, listen, don't be fooled about this guy. He's a big, big man. And you know what? He's just going to – you don't want to get him going. You don't want to get him running downhill. You know, last year he had 5 100-yard games. He doesn't have any this year. He's only averaging 2-point-something carry. And the O-line for the Rams has been a little bit, inconsistent, if you will. But like I said, don't be fooled about Gurley. He can get going. You just don't want it to be this week.
Yeah, and if Gurley does get it going, that means Case Keenum, their quarterback, has the play action going. Last weekend against Detroit, he had a team record 19 consecutive completions.
Well, I think that, you know, he's an up and down player. If you look at statistics between Eli Manning and Case Keenum, these guys are pretty similar, but obviously Eli Manning has two MVPs in the Super Bowl and a Super Bowl, two Super Bowls. But one thing this guy can do is he can get streaky on you. As you said, Paul, from last week, what he did in the Detroit game, and he's got two receivers that are really nice to be able to throw to, and that's Kenny Britt and, of course, Tavon Austin.
Yeah, talking about Britt now, he's a guy from Bayonne, New Jersey, went to Rutgers. Want to give you numbers on him. 7 catches for 136 yards and 2 touchdowns against the Lions. That happened to be his best game since 2012.
Well, this guy was re-signed in 2015. The Rams made a nice decision to bring him back, and he certainly has shown a lot of maturity. You look at a lot of things he was doing off the field and early in his career, but he has become their number one receiver. He's a big athletic guy. He'll go up, make some circus catches, but this guy can get after it, and you got to be able to cover him. And you know what? He can make some big plays down the field.
I want to give you some numbers on Tavon Austin.
Go ahead.
You mentioned him before, Feeks. This is a guy who's a dual threat. In his career, 149 career catches, averages 9 yards a reception. 109 career rushes, averages 8 yards a pop on the ground. So how do you stop him?
Well, you know what? You forgot to mention the one part of the game that he's really good at, too, and that would be special teams. He has 3 career punt returns for touchdowns. You've got to be able to wrap this guy up. He is so slick. I think he's out there with Vaseline all over playing, but he is. How do you stop him is you got to be able to play fundamentals and be able to, if he's going to get out in space, you got to be able to tackle this guy because he will just run by you.
Well, I'll tell you something, Jeff. I'm looking forward to it. I am told that the crowds over in London are insane. How loud was it over there? Those people are itching for football, aren't they?
It was loud, but it's going to be wet. They might tell you that it's not raining, but it's London. It's going to rain.
Oh, come on. No rain. I don't need that. I'll be on the field. Hey, don't forget, it's 9:30 a.m. Sunday, New York time, for the Giants and Los Angeles Rams over across the pond. And we'll see you next week on Giants Press Conference Live.